Alan for Breakfast Catch-Up on Triple M.
Got Shane Hope on the line from the West Australian for what is kicking off a huge round of AFL. Mate, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Alan. Well, I'm great. It's Derby Week. You wouldn't know it over here in Melbourne, but Derby Week's always pretty exciting. So looking forward to the weekend's footy.
Yeah, Derby Week. Got to get around it. let's talk about the first game out of tonight. The Bullies taking on Carlton. This is going to be a very interesting game, I reckon.
Yeah, big time. So the Blues are sitting last, or second last, so 0-5 for the first time since 1989 with an average losing margin of 6 goals. So they're struggling. I think it's pretty safe to say that. They've got a heck of a lot of injuries as well at the moment, about 10 guys out on their injury list that would be pushing for that best 22. So they're struggling. They were better against West Coast last week than they had been in previous weeks. And the Bulldogs, of course, struggled over there in Perth, getting smacked by Fremantle on Saturday night. So both teams pretty desperate to get a win, I think. And the Bulldogs, they get Lachie Hunter back from suspension at least. Hayden Crozier is back from injury, the former Fremantle player. But they do lose Tory Dixon to injury. So that's not great for the Dogs. Carlton, they get Caleb Marchbank and Matt Kennedy back. So they're pretty big ins for the Blues. Really tough one to pick, though. I think you'd just go with the Bulldogs, but Carlton will be desperate, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Another game we're broadcasting this weekend. Saturday, 10 a.m, we're going to be seeing Geelong taking on the Swans. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, this is another really hard one to pick. Sydney generally play okay down at Geelong, which is not something a lot of teams can say, really. But they've lost Lance Franklin and Dan Hannabury. They're both massive outs, and Dean Towers goes out through injury as well. So really three big outs for the Swans. Overall, so that makes it tough for them. Geelong, they've got Tom Hawkins coming back and Corey Gregson as well. So they do lose Dan Menzel, who's been in great form this year after getting his contract extension late last year. So really hard one to pick. I'll go with the Cats at home, mainly because Franklin and Hannanbury are out. They're two pretty big ones to try and fill those holes for the Swans.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Just quickly touching as well, on Sunday, Essendon taking on Melbourne, going to be broadcasting that game. How do you think that one's going to go?
Jeez, talk about two desperate sides. Yeah. We were saying that about the Dogs and the Blues. These two are really under the pump. So the two Anzac games, the winners play each other with Collingwood and Richmond, and then the two losers, Essendon and Melbourne, they're both under the pump big time. So massive changes expect for both sides, given their own coming off 4 and 5 day breaks. So really hard for both sides to juggle their ins and outs. There's a lot of sore boys coming out of those Anzac Day games and a few injuries for both sides as well. So replacing Josh Green and Josh Begley as well are pretty tough for Essendon in that front half. But good luck picking this. You toss a coin, don't you? I don't know who you're going with, Alan, but I can't pick this one. I'll probably go Melbourne for the sake of it.
Yeah, I'm going Melbourne for the sake of it as well, to be honest with you. Now let's talk this. The Derby, Fremantle taking on West Coast. First time at Optus Stadium. Give me the rundown. How's this one all going to go?
Oh, this is massive. Good luck picking a winner again. We've got so many games this week that are really hard to pick, but obviously, a fair bit will come down to who wins the midfield battle. Sandilands and Natanui is always intriguing. They haven't played against each other since 2016, so you get the big body, the big strong Sandilands against the high leaping and athletic Natanui. It's a real difference in styles. And then the two midfields, Fife, Mundy, Neil, are all in great form for Fremantle. And then you've got Yoshui and Gaff doing the same for West Coast. And a lot will come down to who wins that battle. But then you look at West Coast forward line, it looks a bit more potent than Freo's, I would have thought, when you got Kennedy, Darling, Lysett down there. So Freo will probably bring back Michael Johnson to try and counter some of those taller guys. But West Coast have also brought back a bit of pace. They really lacked that against Carlton last week. So Lewis Jetta comes in. Jack Petricelli, he's one to watch. He was picked up in the draft last year, kicked 4 goals for East Perth last week, and he's got lightning speed. So that's a big one to watch for the Eagles. Scott Jones, a slight chance to come in for Fremantle, could be another debutant. They've already had 5 or 6 so far this year. And Matt Taberner goes out injured. That's a massive blow for the Dockers. Mm. He straightens them up a bit. He's been in great form so far this season, and he's really started to come on after taking a long time to develop. So that foot injury is a huge blow for them. But, it's a tough one to pick, this one, that's for sure.
Absolutely, mate. I'm going to go Eagles, I think, by a little bit. No, not a little bit. I think Eagles are going to get it done, really, to be honest. But, Shane, yeah, Thank you so much, mate. Really do appreciate it. If I give you a Glenn Denning medal, I would, mate.
Good on you, Alan. My heart says Fremantle, but my head also says West Coast as well. So I think the Eagles in a tight one.
Brendan Quartermain, a man that's going to be racing in the Make Smoking History Forest Rally. How are you, mate?
Doing well.
Yeah, mate. Well, looking forward to this event. You actually raced in this last year, is that right?
Yeah, we did. We left, I think it was car 39 last year and came in as car 22. So we were really happy to have completed such a grueling event.
Talk me through it. Why is it so grueling? Because I've heard that a few times.
It's just long, and it's over 3 days, and you just get so run down and so tired. It's just hard on the car. It's hard on us personally as well. So it's a lot of kilometres that we've got to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the top speed that you get up to in this?
Sometimes I probably get up to around about 140, 150, maybe 160.
Wow.
On the straights.
Yeah, well, I'd hope on the straights.
On the bends, not so quick.
Yeah, absolutely. How does this compare to all the other rallies that you've been a part of?
It's the biggest one. It's our really big one for the year. It's the one that we've been looking forward to, and it's sort of, we bring all the guys from over east. So we've got guys like Ross Duncan coming over to race this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Neil Bates. He's over. We've got Molly Taylor. A huge lineup this year from over east, and my job is to chase them down in a smaller car. But you know, we do our best, and these guys get up to around about 200, 220 kilometres an hour, maybe even more.
Yeah,
in
okay.
The bush, and so you can get the idea. You know that they've got million-dollar cars. And we've got, $1,000 cars. Well, mind you, I wouldn't like to tell my wife how much I spent on my car.
Yeah, hundreds. We'll just say hundreds,
Yeah.
You got it for free.
The biggest fear of a rally car owner is that if he dies, the wife sells it for what she thinks he paid for it.
Nope, I could. That is very, very true. For spectators, I imagine there's plenty of places to go for them to check out the event.
Well, we've got the Barnard Park events around Busselton first. They're running on Friday night and then again on Saturday night. So, everything's sort of happening there.
Excellent, mate. Well, it sounds like it's going to be pretty awesome, mate. If you want more details, where can they go?
Look it up on WA Rally, mm-hmm. or Rally WA, and find it under the Making History Forest Rally. So, it's all there for you to have a look at. But, come on down. It's going to be a great couple of nights down in Busselton, and then if you're feeling up to it, make your way out to Nanup and watch us go through the bush at some breakneck speeds.
No, love it, mate.
Don't do that though.
Sounds great, mate. Well, good luck and get chasing, mate. Thank you for the chat.
No worries, mate.
We see a lot of crimes all over the world. This one, definitely one of the most bizarre ones that's caught our eye. A former Texas Juvenile Center employee has confessed to stealing $1.2 million in fajitas. You know, like tacos, burritos, fajitas.
$1.2 million worth of fajitas.
Yeah, mate. And he's copped the punishment for it as well. 50-year prison sentence. Ooh. 50 years. For stealing. Well, I mean, that's a lot of meat, to be fair. $1.2 million.
Tell you what, $1.2 million, he's going to be spending a fair bit of that 50 years on the S-Bend, I reckon. Just quite.
His plan was to steal all the meat and then just resell it to different restaurants.
Wow.
Got to say, that's guan and a million crimes.
Well done, Al.
This really guacked him?
Oh.
I'm sure that when he was in court, and they got him to the stand, he didn't really want to taco about it. I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah, you're on fire, mate.
Better get out while it's good.
Fishing. A jerk on one end of the line. Waiting for a jerk on the other end. What's biting in the Southwest on Triple M?
Yeah, we love him. He is our favourite jerk in the whole Southwest. Holly, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, doing pretty good, mate. How's your week been?
Week's been really good. I just want to bring up first just that shark attack again.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the surfers, I love going diving. You love going diving. Can't get enough of it. But I always say as soon as the salmon come around into the bay, that's it. End of the dive, wait till October again,
Okay.
So the surf, they just that the sharks follow them around. Mm. And so, but as much as, like I said, I love going diving, but, common sense and those great whites aren't going to sort of show any mercy. So, it's not the shark's fault this time of the year. I reckon it's the people getting in the water. So
yeah, you were getting a bit stuck into it last week, Holly. You were talking about the surfers and stuff. So I like the way you've kind of cleared that up.
Well, I haven't got any abuse for the week, so yeah, it must be all good.
You haven't? Oh, it sounds like you have.
So I don't know how I got away with that. But Anzac Day got up early for the service guys, drove past, sort of tooted the horn as we were going up to the ramp. Maxine and I went out fishing, 12 mile, which is about 30 k's, we call it the 12 mile. The dewies are biting really, really well. When they bite well, you sort of know when to sort of lean back and lean on. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of nice dewies, nice harlequin. Went to that spot. Remember I told you a few weeks ago, got that big dewey, lost it. Hooked him up again.
Oh,
bang,
same
yeah,
one.
Got him. Yeah, lost him again, reeled up. He's biting over my snell rig, which is two hooks, which is probably, you know, 6 inches long, you know, and he's biting over the top of that. So the mouth on those big dewies, this thing's probably 20 kilos plus. You could push a basketball inside, and that's how big the cavity that you're going to try and get a hook into.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, funny story, too, while we're out there. Maxine's hooked up a cuttlefish. She slows reeling it in. Next thing I'm on, I think I'll call it a snapper this time. I'm on. She's got the cuttlefish up to the top. So I've got the landing there in my left hand. I'm on with the fish on the right arm. Pulled up the cuttlefish, got it out of the water. As soon as it's come out of the water, it's just let all the water go from Maxine's waist to her head, just fully covered, fully soaked. So I felt so bad because he was just soaked. But yeah, funny. So guys, maybe just don't aim them at Maxine when they come up. Okay. Snapper is still in the bay, guys, going off. Monaghan's is always still the hot spot, has been for the last few years. Just get there early, guys, and no fights. King George's and my mate Max is still going out early in the morning. He says he's getting out, getting his quota, guys. So just, you know, like I said earlier too, while it's still a bit clear out there, go and mark your holes. Go right in the middle, mark them, because in winter the weed does cover them up, but you still get your King George's. O'Shane and Paul went out through the week. He got a few crabs. He said he had to really work for them, but he got a nice taste of them. And the weather on the weekend's not looking too bad. Should be a window there for you guys. Tight line.
Excellent, Holly. Thanks for that, mate.
Cheers, dude. Have a good week.
If you're driving a Ford, you normally, I don't know, what's up with this country and Ford Holden thing? We're not really car guys. Let's just full disclaimer this. But there is a bit of patriotism, is that, when it comes to the Holdens versus the Fords?
By a little, you mean a lot.
Yeah, just a little bit. Hey, if you're a Ford fan, bud, if you're on the Ford bandwagon, I don't think your head will be getting held up too high. A record $10 million penalty has just been handed out to Ford, which is the highest fine handed out to a car company in Australia. The reason for it is something wrong with the gearbox, affecting a few of the models, including the Fiesta, Focus, and EcoSport. Let's be honest, people driving those ones probably don't know too much about cars either. But $10 million, jeez.
That is the equal largest penalty ever for a breach of the Australian consumer law, matching that one given to Coles in 2014. So it's a big deal.
$10 million.
Yeah. Consumer watchdog doesn't muck around, mate.
Nah, they're not messing around. I know Telstra actually copped a bit of a fine as well. That's our breaking news this morning. But yeah, so if you're a Holden fan, you can crow about a bit louder today.
Oh, there'll be a few Holden fans here going, yeah, stuff them.
Is that how they sound, is it?
Not all of them, but only the ones I know, Elmo.
A royal wedding update.
Well, I've got our foreign correspondent, Jeremy Butterworth, on the line. Morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Very exciting, mate. The wedding coming up sooner than we know it.
Absolutely. We are 22 days away from the most anticipated wedding since my very flamboyant cousin married his wife. I mean, the wedding only lasted a month, but jeez, it was exciting. They both had amazing dresses.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, maybe as exciting as that, I guess.
Well, in what I am expecting was the best news Prince William has received all year. Prince Harry has asked him to be his best man in the wedding to Meghan Markle.
I'm pretty sure he had a baby, right? I think it would be the biggest news.
Oh, babyish maybe. Will is the best man, which means he's got a hell of a lot of planning to do.
Oh, yeah, of course. He's the one that's got to look after the rings. He's probably got to sort Harry, make sure he gets there on time, the suits.
No. I'm talking about the Bucks night, Alan, you peasant.
Oh.
I'm talking two lads getting out for the town, on the town, rather. Who knows what they'll get up to? These two white privilege diligence may kick off a bender at any minute.
Oh, God. I don't think they're going to get into that much trouble, really. I mean...
can you imagine, Alan, the drinks, the ladies, the drugs?
I don't think the drugs.
Look, just bear with me. We may see an appearance of the old Harry we used to love.
I don't think we're going to see that. Oh, my God. No, I don't think so.
Well, if you want to see the official announcement, it is on Twitter and includes some lovely photos of the boys growing up. I hope they include the photo of them being bailed out of Scotland Yard after their week bender.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
22 days to the wedding.